Tonight, Survivor Know-It-All's premiere recap is sponsored by our friends over at ZipRecruiter. Hiring can be a challenge that could drive you to the edge of extinction, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart, a place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates, and that place is ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. And as the applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. SURVIVE. ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls. Survivor Know-It-Alls. Steven and Rob went out and down, got the game all figured out. They know it all.
Yes, that's right. Steven Fishback and I are back from the edge of extinction. I'm Rob Sestanino. Steven, how are you?
I'm great. Survivor Bob, it is great to be talking to you again.
Two iconic Survivor legends are back to lead us again tonight.
Oh my God. You know, I don't like that. I don't like it when like the Survivor returnees show up and they're like, these people are legends to us.
Legends.
Is Kelly Wentworth a legend?
we could do a whole podcast
discussing who and who's not a legend. No, I don't like it because my problem with the captain seasons is the sense of these people are so, it's almost like they're like mini celebrities and there's not enough like they're playing the game. It's more like, you know, it becomes the season becomes more about like, are you on the captain's team or are you not on the captain's team? And it's less about like, so I didn't love that moment, but this was a really fun premiere. Sorry, I didn't mean to start off with negativity. No,
good. Yeah, people love it when you're shot out of a cannon to start off the new season. We're back. It is the 14th season of Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Oh my God.
13th for Steven Fishback.
I gotta be shot out of the cannon, Rob, with low energy. Rob Sesternino over here is my co-host.
I'm not low energy. It's a long season. It's a long season. We got a lot of shows to get through, but I'm so excited. I love the premiere. I really did. I thought that we had an iconic first boot to this season, an all-timer. I loved Reem.
Yeah, Reem is great. I really, really like Reem. And I don't, you know, like this Reem thing is very contentious. I'm looking at social media. Some people are like, who is this old crazy lady? Some people are like, ageism. Look at, you know, this, she was just trying to help her people, you know, and it's an interesting discussion.
And is Reem really even that old?
No, she's like 46, Rob. Like,
she's like 5 years older than
we are. It's crazy. I know. On Survivor, like, that is... Like, she's much more our contemporary than like any of the people on the cast.
No, I love Reem, and this might be the hottest take yet, Steven. You know what? I kind of liked Edge of Extinction Land because I don't have to say goodbye to Reem. Reem is still on the show. Sure, we could have got like a scorched earth exit interview tomorrow morning, but potentially we could get Reem maybe on day 39, reaming the jury for the final three.
That's the perfect end. If Reem wins, that would be the perfect end of the season.
You know,
imagine her clothes will be so dry.
Yeah.
Everyone else is evacuated because of like wet clothes.
Yeah. So that would be, yeah, Reem hates wet clothes. So a lot to talk about with Reem. I'm very excited to get into all of that. Of course, you can get your questions into the show. Hashtag RHAP. Scott St. Pierre is standing by. We'll take your questions here tonight live with Stephen Fishback. Of course, make sure you subscribe to the podcast all season long. RobHasAWebsite.com/iTunes or RobHasAWebsite.com/Survivor Podcast for our dedicated Survivor Podcast feed for everything that we do here at the start of the season, including the RHAP B&B and Why Blank Lost. They'll be even with the Edge of Extinction. That'll still be operating normally tomorrow morning. No exit interview this season, Stephen, but I will be talking to Stephen Fishback's work spouse from Survivor Cambodia, Kimmy Kappenberg.
We'll be
on Thursday.
She's a great guest. She's got experience with Wentworth, with Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll pick your brain for some questions later on. And then I'm very excited on the Survivor Feedback Show. Host of Big Brother Canada, Arissa Cox, who was out there on location for these 3 days in the Survivor 38 premiere. She will be our guest on this week's Feedback Show. So I'm excited about that. And then we'll get into everything with the Wiggle Room as well. We'll even play some Twish later on as a little bit of a standalone this week. So lots to do here on our Survivor 38 premiere coverage. Stephen, real quick before we jump into it, how was your off season?
It was lovely. It was really great. I started my literary podcast, Paraphrase, as you know, hoping to, you know, work in a lot of references to that in this.
When will you have me as a guest to discuss my mini audiobooks? How I got started on all my audiobooks, Stephen.
Yeah. Well, then we should, you'd be the perfect guest to talk about the 49 laws of survivor power.
Yes. So many. All right. So, Stephen, here we are at Edge of Extinction Night One. I really thought that this was a night where we were getting close to Jeff saying at Tribal Council, do we even need to vote? I really thought it was, we usually don't get things that much of a foregone conclusion. Ironically, the vote ended up being close with the vote split, but it was really being set up to be, I thought that they may not even vote.
Yeah, just like she should just like by consensus walk out of there. It was pretty surprising how it really just became all about her and she, you know, she led off, right? And Jeff kind of immediately called her on it, right? She sort of started off with this somewhat annoyed tone and Jeff said, like, you sound really annoyed. And she just kind of went into it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about how we got to that point where it seemed like that we had, you know, this initial separation where we had Keith and Reem and Wendy, they were like off in the water together. And that was enough, right, Stephen? That they're just the three of them. They were in the water at the same time. And Rick called like, oh, looks like these guys got an alliance.
Well, I mean, what was crazy was that like they were literally teaching Keith to swim,
right?
You know, like they're like, we see a weakness of yours as like something that we can help you with. You'll be a better tribe member. You know, this is our opportunity to like help lift you up. And everyone else is like, let's get them, you know, look at them being helpful. It was sort of a bad moment. I don't know.
You feel like that it was a low moment for the human nature of survivors, that you had people doing a good deed and then for that good deed, they will be punished.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, just given who the three people were, I think that, you know, it's a little bit of like, those maybe don't immediately gang up on the, you know, the but three people.
I think it speaks to, you know, just how easy it is to end up being the first boot. So then from that, things really spin out for Reem, because then we have, okay, sort of they're sort of separate. And then Keith, his survival instincts take over after the challenge ends, where once Reem makes that other, you know, classic survivor blunder of, you know, throwing out the names and being, you know, forceful about it. I mean, we saw Sierra in the Game Changer season just throw out the name, and then that was enough. And this was to not only to Keith, but to Rick, really making the case where Reem was saying that we should go after breaking up the returning player and also Lauren. And Keith went right back with that information, as if Rick wasn't going to go back with that information. But Keith ends up being the one who really saved himself tonight.
Yeah, I thought Keita had a fantastic moment where he kind of saw that the people who, you know, the way that Ream approached Rick was so aggressive. And we talk about this all the time. You know, you don't just come out guns blazing and say, like, this is who it's going to be. You know, here's why. And like, not give the other person a chance to speak, a chance to respond, a chance to posit their own ideas. So that was obviously a huge mistake. And kudos on Keith for kind of recognizing what was happening, like right next to him, and sort of saying, well, this is obviously bad. Like, this is gonna undo my game if I stick with these people. How can I use that to my advantage? And Keith then sort of takes that information. You know, I thought that was really smart. Yeah, he takes this moment, which he saw was a, you know, somewhat disastrous, and uses it to his advantage. You know, he recognized that he was being ostracized, but by taking that information, by bringing it back to the other group, he integrates himself into the bigger group. And, you know, it looked like that really saved him. So Wendy, on the other hand, go ahead.
Yes. So this is where I thought things got really fun for me. So then War Dog says, okay, let me go talk to Wendy. Let me feel out Wendy and see what she's doing. And so Wendy then, you know, she's going to be making all these same mistakes that Reem is making, where Wendy is not only telling War Dog, but also David Wright that she wants to break up, you know, Kelly Wentworth, going to go after her. Why on earth would you say that to them? I mean, we haven't had these pairs of returning players, but yeah. Why on earth would you say to David? I could almost understand saying it to War Dog, but saying it to the other returning player, you know, he's going to go back and say something. And she's like, hey, I'm not going to, I won't vote for Reem. And that ends up with, you know, War Dog is like, all right, we need to have a, you know, conversation without you. So let me consult with my associate here and we'll come back to you. And then she goes and tells Reem. And that's when really the fireworks start.
Well, what's crazy to me was like Wardo was literally like, hey, we are all voting for Reem. And when he was like, no, still not going to. Like, yeah. It's like a wonderful sentiment. But, you know, even I mean, we saw that, you know, first episode of Survivor Cambodia where Shireen and Spencer voted for each other. And they were both like, you know, got to play the game. You're my best friend out here. You're my number one ally. But, you know, this is good. Or I guess that was the second episode, whatever episode it was. The you know, classic Survivor blunder, like just being... And it's a beautiful human trait, but not a great game trait.
Right. And so then Reem comes out and she gets wind of this and she is pissed and she's not shy about it. And I loved it. I loved it so much where she's just completely whatever, screw you, whatever. No. Come on.
But the thing is, like, I don't know. I hear you. It's like a fun moment. Like, I want someone, you know, I want my characters to be like, well, did I just get like a crazy zoom? I want my characters to be like, you know, oh, wow, they're targeting me. This is my opportunity to hustle and save myself.
Sure. I mean, that's what it would be. But it was like, this is the worst. I hate you guys. That I wish all your clothes were wet. I was loving Reem so much, and when she had the machete and David Wright's like, could we please have this discussion with you not waving the machete around.
Yeah, David is doing great. He's like, you know, he's clearly really enjoying the situation. He's never going to be the super imposing figure that some of these other, you know, other guys are, but he's playing with it. And the fact I feel like he's in really like the perfect spot of the returnees, where their people are looking to him, they're like respecting him for his experience, no one is targeting him, and he's just kind of like taking a step back and enjoying it.
Yeah, he's done really well tonight, you know, in that tribe. And then we'll switch and we'll talk about the Joe and Aubrey tribe. But I thought that he did, you know, really well. I don't think that there was anything that was negative about him other than that they talked about how he thought he would come in and he would, you know, he was scared of everything. And we saw like the one time he like winced with with hitting the machete. But other than that, he was not panicked. He wasn't off looking for idols. I felt like that this was, you know, as good of a night, how he made across the balance beam. This was as good of a night that David Wright could have had.
Yeah, and he's in all the, you know, of course he's in the strategic conversations, you know, but we don't see him necessarily driving those. We see other people proposing things to him. Really, yeah, I agree. Like, perfect. I mean, the danger for David was always going to be day one, right? It's like, we've got this returnee. We know he's really strategic. He's not a super physical guy. Let's get him out immediately. And the fact that hasn't happened, I think really bodes well for his whole game.
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting that it looks like that he has the war dog. It looked like that as his right hand person, where Kelly has looks like that she's picked up Lauren as their, as her right hand person. I think that the war dog is a good foil for David. And I know he said it in the preseason, but war dog in action really was, you know, looking like very Vlachos-esque out there.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, a little less scrambling around in the dirt, but very playing it, you know. Oh yeah, Vlachosian.
Which is like the perfect person for David to hide behind. I'd love to get your thoughts on then Wentworth picking up Lauren, because to me, Lauren doesn't seem as much of a shield. To me, that's almost like a Parvati getting to Heroes versus Villains and picking up Danielle.
Yeah, but that worked out well for Parvati.
That worked out well, you know, but that I feel like that if somebody's going to come for that pair, I feel like that there's a chance maybe somebody is looking, you know, War Dog is louder. He could hide David, where Lauren, I feel like, is hiding behind Kelly.
Well, the first thing is that, you know, Lauren starts off this game by saying she's a huge Wentworth fan. You know, to have someone who's your ally, who's also your, like, a giant fan, like, that seems like a pretty good basis for an alliance. That person is probably going to be maybe more loyal to you than they ought to be. I thought Kelly
loves Joe.
And she loves Joe. So there's some danger down the line. You know, what if she has to choose between Joe and Kelly? I thought Kelly had a really good observation. You know, I think with Kelly, she's had this incredible career of, you know, she did really well in the challenges. She had some amazing Isle of Blind sides. She has never actually orchestrated a vote. You know, she's never actually led a successful vote. With the numerical advantage. And she said that. She said, I am a closed off person and I need to open up myself more in order to create deep bonds. And you need those deep bonds to create alliances. And I thought that was really great. Like, I was really excited for her too, because I felt like you could see her acknowledging kind of what her flaws were and then trying to look to push past those. So I have a lot of hope for her as well this game.
Go ahead. She and David seemed like that they were on the same page. That was something I was worried about, whether or not they were going to be able to work together. And they really didn't have to fight off an insurrection. That was the one thing that I was worried about with that tribe. I kind of felt like that the Joe and Aubrey tribe was going to fall in line. But I was worried about that because they do have a lot of the bigger personalities from the new players with David and Kelly. I was thinking that maybe, and War Dog looks like he's working with David, but if in another universe where the new players are saying, like, hey, why don't we just get rid of these guys, where that they're not necessarily a provider like Joe is, where that you could, you know, they might be fine without the veteran leadership. Could they go after them? And it seemed like that there was enough new players that were on board between War Dog and Rick and Lauren, that they were going to work with the returning players. Ultimately, Keith.
Now, go ahead.
Go. That was it.
Who, so you were saying, I'm sorry, I didn't actually address your question. Like, you were saying, like, maybe Kelly chose the wrong partner. Who should she have chosen?
No, I don't know if it's necessarily that she, if there was a better person to pick out of that group. I mean, they have who's available, but I just think that that the person that David, that we saw with, and it was only for one conversation, you know, could be somebody that David could potentially hide behind down the road. Whereas that Lauren is somebody who you would think that they're going to come for Kelly before they come for Lauren.
Yeah.
Not a nitpick, just an observation.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What do you think of the idea of the returnees turning on each other? I mean, they kind of hinted at that maybe next week, like maybe, I mean, whether or not that's what happens, if you're a returnee and you're there with Kimmy, do you go for Kimmy or do you try to ally with Kimmy?
Why? I mean, what sense would it be to go after Kimmy?
Well, because you're a bigger target when there's two of you.
Yeah. So I this is something that, you know, it's come up before where, you know, in a couple of these seasons where you had in South Pacific, you know, Coach and Ozzy both made it to the merge. And there was like some talk about, you know, Coach and Ozzy, should we work together? They had like a moment or two together, but Coach ultimately wanted to stick with his group. But Ozzy's also a big threat to win the challenges. But that was, you know, something that was talked about. You also saw in the Philippines where Penner and Scoopin felt like that it was like to each other's advantage at a certain point to both stay in the game, because really once you start that boulder rolling down the hill, it's hard to stop it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it makes sense. And just having someone who's in a similar situation from you, that's like sort of like an instant other vote. Why not keep that person around?
Yeah, I don't think you want to be the one returning player. I feel like that, you know, in a perfect world, the returning players should be looking out for each other, you know, as far as possible, at least until the merge.
Yeah. Are you a fan of the captains? I've kind of missed your perspective on that.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I feel like that this is fine. I mean, I know people are really down on it in terms of mixing the returning players with the new players, but I feel like that the last time out that we had a season like this, which was Philippines, which is a great, great season. I almost feel like that it's a little more interesting to have the four returning players as opposed to just the two, where, you know, in the Robin Russell season and in the Coach and Ozzie season, it was like those individuals were like so celebrated by the show that it was almost like, I feel like that between four of them, I feel like that the attention is a little more diluted.
Yeah. I don't love the captains because I feel like they inhibit the other players from kind of achieving their strategic potential. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's kind of an unfair advantage, right? They're just, I mean, there's so many unfair, you know, it's not a fair game necessarily, but I don't love that we don't see like the new players blossom as much, but I agree. Like, I'm excited to see how the two go against the, you know, the two on each tribe.
And don't get it twisted. You know, my preference would be to have either, you know, all returning players or all new players, but I haven't been, you know, railing against this all through, you know, the preseason or from whenever, you know, we first heard that there were going to be returnees mixed with the new players.
Well, and you know, like what was great about the Philippines was that the three returning players were just such hot messes. And I feel like while these four are all like really, really great players, they all kind of have like, this is their flaw. You know, you can kind of see why, like what their challenge is. So it's not like, I mean, not that, you know, Coach was an unflawed player, but I don't know what I'm saying here.
Okay. So we'll see ultimately where it goes. Did you like how the execution of the Edge of Extinction twist?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was so fun. I loved, you know, like her kind of like seeing this sign in the dark after she's already been voted out and having to choose. I mean, who's not going? Like, is anyone not choosing?
I mean, so from what we understand, you go on Edge of Extinction land until you ultimately quit. So I don't know who would say, you know, whatever, screw this, I'm out of here. You know, even Reem of all people didn't walk off. So I don't know who would walk, you know, say, I'm good. I'll just take the check if you can.
The only situation would be if it's like pretty late and maybe it's raining. I mean, pretty late though, you would go for it. Well, maybe it's like a miserable night, it's raining. I don't know. Like, it seems crazy. Like, why wouldn't you? Whatever is to the left is better than what's to the right, which is nothing.
I will have to say, and I know it's unpopular, the Edge of Extinction Island, but it was a cool reveal where it's like, because I think you think you're going to, you know, we've seen Ghost Island, Redemption Island, and there's like a shelter there. There's like a fire going. It's like, nope, we're going to just, you know, that boat drops you off there. It's pitch black. You have a torch and there's nothing there, especially for Reem. Like, once maybe it's populated, and there's like, you know, five or six people there, and it's almost like going to Ponderosa. It's like, hey, who's that? Oh, it's Steven. Oh, it's Steven. Come on, get in here. But I mean, to be there by yourself in the dark with a torch the whole night, that's miserable.
That's terrible. I'm open to this idea. And I didn't love it when I first heard the rumors about it. But, you know, I think the Jeff's pitching of it, I was like, really going to push you to your limits and see how much you want this. I think it's like an interesting idea. You know, I mean, people complain, that Survivor isn't as much about like the survival element anymore. And like, here it is, like, this is the survival element.
Right. So we'll see. But people will say, well, I want to see the survival element only before they get voted out.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm just saying, I'm keeping an open mind.
I'm one of these people that's like, hey, they don't starve them enough that, you know, you don't hear me complain about that.
Yeah. Well, let's just see, you know, we so far it's kind of cool, and maybe the whole premise will be cool. I, you know,
Yeah, look, I'm always okay if you want to bring players back, you know, until we get to the merge. It's really, you know, the only thing that I am critical of. It's like once you start getting to the end game and we're bringing people back, I think you're really playing with fire there in terms of, you know, a very unpopular outcome for a season. But you know, that's a problem for another podcast. So, Steven, I want to know the over under from you, if you're up for it, because I know that you don't always like to play these games. Do you have an over under of how many people do you think will walk from Edge of Extinction Island this season?
This is fun. Well, so they will leave you. Like, do you mean they will quit?
They will tap out. Like, all right, you know what? I'm good. I've had enough.
Do we know when it goes to? We don't, right? We don't know anything about it.
I don't think it has been. I think we are and maybe we will find out more of these answers tomorrow as more and more, you know, people that were on location maybe might have these answers and things that get written. But I think as of right now, we don't.
Six.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that a lot or a little?
I think that's high. I feel like that not that many people are going to walk off.
I don't know. You're sitting there, you know, Joe is sitting there next to you. You're like, what am I doing? What am I doing here? I'm not eating. Like, he's going to win. Why am I here?
Well, I think that might like psych you out. Like, well, what if chance fight? What is the game going to be where, although Cochran did go toe to toe with Ozzy and before he got eliminated from Redemption.
Like the, I guess, like the Maypole challenge, right?
Yeah. I guess you never know how it's going to be, but you know, I don't think that many people are going to walk off, but I do wonder if we could get into psychological warfare on the Edge of Extinction land of, you know, people really getting into it. I mean, if the objective becomes clear, you have to get people to tap out at, you know, I mean, it could get ugly there.
Yeah, I think that could be really fun, just trying to psych people out. Now, how many do you think? You haven't given me your number.
I think it's definitely, I was going to say that I think the over under is 1.5. I really don't think that many people will walk off.
Yeah, because you're right. Why? It's as miserable as you are right now, it's only worse. You know, the other option is only worse.
Yeah.
Quitting option.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how, you know, what is in store for us at the Edge of Extinction Island this season. Steven, we haven't talked about the Joe and Aubrey tribe. Okay. Yeah. Of course, that your great friend Joe Anglim is back this season. He's going to he's going to put Joey Amazing away this season. Do you feel like that in night one, he accomplished his mission?
it was a great moment because it's literally him saying, I am going to not be Joey Amazing, and then him, you know, cut to him making fire from, you know, air and twigs and teaching everyone around him how to be how to be great. What did he say? I'm not going to shine brighter than others. I like that. I think that Joe is an underrated contestant. I think that Joe is a more strategic thinker than people give him credit for, and I hope that is his edge in this season. You saw it this tonight with him talking about, you know, what is Edge of Extinction? He has got a game sense that is eerie, where he in Cambodia, he would predict twists. He by just guessing the flow of the game. And then B, he would sort of observe the people around us, if there were such people, and try to gauge what was happening based on their behaviors.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's underrated for that. I think he's so well known for his physical prowess that I feel like he should be a stealth strategist. Don't try to hide what a physical beast you are. Everyone knows that about you and you can't hide it. What are you going to be lose a challenge? But stealth strategist is my hope for Joe.
So do you feel like he's not being stealth strategist, or do you feel like he's doing too much of the challenge?
Oh no, I think he will be. And I think that that's sort of my hope is that he is able to kind of cobble together a real alliance.
Yeah. Steven, I made him my winner pick this season.
I love that. I mean, Edge of Extinction is really favors him, right? I mean, he's so dominant at these survivor challenges and he's so great at the survival element of the game. He rigged up a rat trap in Cambodia. It didn't work, but he did it.
Yeah. I mean, that you have never come down from the Joe is a threat. that has always been your sermon. Joe Anglim is the biggest threat out here, and we need to focus on him.
Well, I think that, you know, I really think it's true. And like, he's preternaturally good at these challenges. He's really, really good.
Your take has never been Joe stinks. Your take has always been Joe is the best and we need to stop him.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's right. I guess I've got that take continues.
Yes. You're still mesmerized by Joe.
But actually we did see him doing something that I didn't see him doing Cambodia. I don't know if he was doing this in season 30, which is really trying to teach people and be a mentor towards them in a way where I felt like in Cambodia, like he would sort of go off by himself and kind of do all this outdoorsy stuff. Maybe it's because he's a little older now and because some of his tribe mates are younger, whereas in Cambodia, he was the youngest person. But he's like teaching people. And I think that's a really good in for him, is to kind of be that, like, let me show you how to survive out here. You know, to show Julie how to chop and show, I forget her name, but how to open a coconut.
Yes. Do you feel like that you wish that Joe would have taken you aside and said, Steven, let me help you with this stick?
Yeah, I tweeted something similar to that. I was like, why did I never get these lessons?
Aubrey also, on the other hand, that we didn't see as much about Aubrey. And we even saw some of the players talking about targeting Aubrey early on. I believe it was Eric and Gavin having the conversation of, we need to go after Aubrey. And this was something that I thought that Aubrey was really set up well, because I felt like the people would come for Joe before they came for Aubrey, just going back to that idea of, you know, who's hiding behind whom. But Steven, it sounds like they're like, hey, we need Joe for the challenges. Maybe we need to get rid of Aubrey.
Yeah, I think you can't take out Joe because he's so dominant in these challenges. And given how dominant Joe is, it makes Aubrey more of a target because, you know, like we were saying, presumably they're going to be allied. You don't want to get rid of Joe. So getting rid of Aubrey, like, it unfortunately for, you know, it does seem like she's in a bad position just because she's on the Joe tribe.
Yeah. Steven, we saw Ron on that tribe that he found the secret advantage and then ended up going off to the water well. Yes. And he found the menu, Steven, the tasting menu of advantages. And so he needs, he has only two more tribal councils left to use this. I'm sure people want us to break down what's the right call here.
Well, first of all, were you yelling at your screen to tell him to move? When he was like rolling in the dirt by the water well, I was like, get out of there. Like, you're in the most public place you could be in. Like, stop rolling in the dirt and just like take that somewhere else. Was that bothering you at all?
I think that Ron might have been really hamming it up there for the camera at that point.
Yeah. the answer is clearly immunity idol, right? And then, so the other options are, as you said, steal extra vote, steal a reward. Steal a reward is garbage, right? Extra vote is very situational, useful, but like kind of rare. Hidden immunity idol, no question.
Okay. For himself.
Yeah. I mean, don't you think?
I don't know. I kind of feel like that this tribe that he's on, I feel like that the Joe and Aubrey tribe is going to probably roll. I don't think they're going to go to tribal council, but they may also not lose a reward challenge. So this might just be null and void.
No, I'm sorry. So I thought he had to make the choice by the third tribal council, but he didn't have to necessarily use the immunity idol by the third tribal council.
Oh, is that right? We'll have to get clarification on that. I thought that that the whole thing expired in by three votes. I thought he had to make a move on.
We should look into that because I thought something else.
Yeah. I think it was not since Cochran came out for Debbie. Have we seen the menu?
The advantage menu.
But Steven is reading from his notes.
I'm looking at a zoomed in thing.
He must have paused the TV to look at the idol clue.
So the advantage menu has no power.
The advantage menu has no power after the third tribal council. It doesn't say the advantage has no menu, it has no power. So unclear. I mean, does the menu include the advantage? My read of that is that he could use the idol after at any point.
Okay. I mean, why do we care necessarily? Like, why would they give him so long to make a choice? Like, I mean, that seems very unsurvivor-like of like, okay, you get three weeks to decide what to do, and then you can keep it for as long as you want.
Well, I think that's actually cool because it's such like every advantage is so situational, you know, and it so much depends on your position in the tribe, how your tribe is doing, and so many other factors. But I think like the opportunity to kind of suss out, well, what is my position in the tribe? Like, what will help me better? Like, am I in the dominant alliance where, you know, maybe that extra vote will serve me best, or am I on the outs and I can really use an immunity idol? So I kind of like that.
Okay. So any other standouts from the new players tonight?
You know, loved, like what we talked about, Fireman. I thought that, you know, I liked Fireman him out of the gate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked, Gavin Whitson. You know, he was fun. We talked about Keith. We didn't talk about Rick, Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Which they replayed right before the challenge, which I really liked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have a fishy for tonight?
I do.
Okay.
Fishy goes to Keith.
Yeah, that's because I co-sign. Good one.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he was in a bad spot and he found a great way to get himself out of that bad spot.
I thought that was good. Okay. Yeah. I just say, incredible that Joe can make the fire without Flint.
Really? Yeah. I mean, not that many people. I mean, it's and yeah.
Yeah. You know, all these people like in the pregame, like, yeah, I've been practicing my Flint. Joe's like, yeah, we don't even need the Flint.
He literally like practices Survivor challenges, like in his backyard. He like makes and practices Survivor challenges. So if you want to compete at that level, like that's what you got to do. Do you know
if Joe has an actual house that is it possible that Joe's set up like his default setting is just Edge of Extinction Island? Like he has like some sort of like a place that's like quartered off in like the middle of the desert.
Maybe he lives in John Kerhofer's storage locker or something.
He might. He even had like Jeff like threw him the Flint and he like did like a one-handed grip. Like Joe should have just like biffed it and just like dropped it. Like, oh man, I'm so, yeah. I can't catch. Play it up. Okay. Yeah. All right. Steven, let's take some questions unless there's anything else you want to dive into from the premiere.
No, I think this was great. What about you? Anything else?
No, I think that it was pretty cut and dry in terms of, you know, everybody, you know, getting out there. I felt like that the marooning, Dalton Ross had an amazing essay this morning about all the different parts make up the marooning. But overall, marooning, I thought pretty uneventful. Even like opening Matt chat, not contentious at all. No really standout moments. But you know, basically, everything was, pretty much, generic Survivor premiere. And then, Reem and Wendy, I felt like that really put it over the top for me.
Oh yeah. The one thing I did want to mention was Wendy I Googled this because I wasn't sure. And this is but you know, to have someone with Tourette's speaking so forthrightly about their condition, some of my best and oldest family friends have Tourette's, and you know, for many, many years, the only representation of people with Tourette's is like, you know, some like Rob Schneider movie where it's like, oh, Tourette's people swear a lot and they're always doing like big wacky things with their hands. And so it's just to have someone who's really living with this and you know, talking about it in a forthright way, I thought was just awesome.
Yeah. So good stuff there from Wendy. And let's take some questions here and let's open it up with Becca. With the Extinction Island twist this season, do you think that there will be more straightforward boots like this week to give more time for the twist? I don't really know if those two things are necessarily connected, right?
Well, the only thing I could say is that maybe they didn't spend as much time on like, is it Wendy or is it, you know, is it Reem? Because, you know, or some of the other strategic parts of the game, because they had just a lot to set up.
But it's either a straightforward boot or it's not. I mean, the players aren't really like, hey, let's just like keep this one pretty cut and dry because we know they got to get to Edge of Extinction Island.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think that like there's so much strategy that happens and we only see, you know, a small fraction of it. That, you know, if there are other requirements from an airtime perspective, then you don't see as much of that strategy.
I really feel like that the producers of the show feel like, okay, here's the best stuff we have and let's put all of the best stuff in the 42 minutes. So if the best stuff is happening on Edge of Extinction Land, we're going to see more of that. And if the best stuff is happening in the lead up, we'll see less of the Edge of Extinction stuff. I feel like that very rarely are they going to leave the absolute gold on the cutting room floor at the expense of, well, we need to show stuff that's not as exciting over here.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I think like ultimately they're going to be choosing whatever the best is. I just like it's some of that you could lose some strategy. The only reason you would lose some strategic stuff is because you would have other better stuff over here.
Yeah. Well, then that's an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, it's embarrassment of riches.
Okay.
Hashtag.
Okay. Anne wants to know, Stephen, should they put Aubrey and Joe on separate tribes?
Why?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think that was, I thought that was fine how they did it. I think that Aubrey was a good balance with Joe.
Yeah. And I, you know, I thought so too. And Joe, again, like Joe is so dominant that there's no real balance there, but I guess they probably tried to balance the two tribes as a whole. But yeah, I thought that was good. I really like these four returnees. I think that the way that they split them up was the right way.
Steven, who would be the perfect female counterpart to pair you with in some sort of alternate returnee season where we bring back three-time Survivor Stephen Fish back?
Well, my dream, as you know, all I want out of Survivor is to get Lauren Rimmer back on the TV channel.
that would actually be really good.
If Rimmer was my pairing, that yeah. to me would be perfect.
That would be like a great pairing of you and Lauren Rimmer. Fish back and Fisher person.
That would be my dream.
She could really just like give it to you. It would be great. That'd be perfect. Yeah.
What about you, Rob?
Who would be the perfect counterbalance to me? I don't know. What about like somebody who is like, you know, athletic, charismatic? So probably like, you know, Parvati or Andrea.
Oh, yeah. You and Andrea would be fun. Or like you and like Tasha would be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. All right. So let's put it into the universe for the know-it-all season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Johnny DeSilvera wants to know, what do you two think of the strength of this advantage? It has to be used within the first three tribals or goes to waste. Is it worth it to use it?
Well, I think if you need it, it's definitely worth it to use it.
I guess if the thing itself expires in three tribals, like that is, again, very different. In that case, I think the correct choice is almost like a reward steal.
Yeah. Well, Stephen, do you feel like that? Is it a good idea to get the hidden immunity idol where like we
saw just in case.
Well, also that if it expires, also there is value in the dead hidden immunity idol. Like we saw in season 35 where, you know, Ryan and Chrissy were going to use, a expired idol as a fake idol.
Yes.
So, you know,
the immunity idol in any situation, I agree with you.
Yeah. Even if it's not real. Okay. Let's go to John Densford. Given that production would edit out of prior seasons for suspense, how many times out of the past 37 seasons was it openly discussed who the first boot of the season would be at Tribal Council? Okay, well, that's an interesting question. Stephen, do you feel like that that the show let it be a little bit less of a suspenseful thing of who was going to be the first boot? I mean, there's not many times that I can recall where everybody is just like on the first boot of here's who it is. Maybe like Nicaragua. I don't think that there's a ton of these times.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm trying to think. Yeah, you're like even with I'm trying to think of like with Gonzalez, was that cut and dry or was there? I guess
I think that it was very, especially as she got up and then moved around.
Right.
I think you thought who was going to be
like the best your argument for why it's not cut and dry. She got up and moved.
Well,
around.
I think that you were like, oh, this is like the tribal is live. I think that so she went and she whispered into people's ears. I think that you didn't know if it was going to be. I think it was her or Donathan, I think it was going to be.
Yeah. And also interesting that they did talk a lot about what it meant to be the first one out, you know, and then Jeff sort of like bleakly said, well, someone's going to be. And of course, it seems like, you know, you now know that he's kind of teasing the fact that this isn't the end of the line. But he did talk a lot, right? Even in his initial speech, which was somewhat unusual at the marooning, like in just 72 hours, someone is going to be the first one voted out. Not something he typically says at the very beginning of the season.
Yeah. And it turns out it was true. It was true, but a little bit of a caveat on that. Yeah. Okay. What about this one from James?
All right. James says, is voting off Reem for her kind actions towards her tribe a new way the game is evolving into a more strategic and maybe even sinister way to play due to her basically doing nothing wrong? Tell me what you think.
I think it was less about that she was in the water with everybody teaching. It was more so that she ended up making the move where she tells Rick and Keith, hey, we should vote out Kelly Wentworth and Lauren. I think that that's the big, if we're going to be ranking the things that she did wrong, I know this isn't why Reem lost the podcast, but I think that you start there. I think that's much less that, oh, she moved my laundry. And then also she was in the ocean with Keith.
Well, I think the moving the laundry thing is not to be like underrated, because, you know, when you're on Survivor, it's not like, oh, there's some of my clothes. Like, those are all the things I have. And you are like moving them around. Mm-hmm. I put all of my things somewhere and you are like touching my things and taking them and moving them, you know? Yes. And it's like the wilderness too, where you're like, something could blow away if it's on the beach, you know, like, and then it's gone. I would not love someone to, or you could just like not find it again. You just lose it and then it's gone forever.
Right. And we also have to go back to Survivor Philippines when Lisa Welchel was doing something very similar, where that's how she ended up finding Malcolm's hidden immunity idol, where she's yes. like, hey, all the clothes are wet, let me hang them up, and then finds Malcolm's hidden immunity idol. So I think that people may not like that part of it either.
Yeah, I think leave people's clothes alone. I think that's a good strategy.
That's smart. It's just, you know, don't do anything that people, no curveballs, people.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it seemed like it was like this combination of things where, you know, she was doing these things that somewhat irritated people, whatever people you do. So people do, as she mentioned, if it was like so irritating, maybe say something. Mm-hmm. Then she was alone or in a small group while the big group was off doing other things. And then after the tribe lost the immunity challenge, she really came out guns blazing, targeting Wentworth. So it seemed like this combination of things all added up.
Yeah. If for a future person that's listening to this podcast, if they are ever in the situation where you're on the tribe with Stephen Fishback and Lauren Rimmer, your job is to be as far up their butts as humanly possible. Don't be because the people that go out early, whether you're, you know, Franny and Christina Kell or Christine Markoski or, you know, these people that they go out early in these seasons, it's because they are seen as a threat by the returning players. That's it.
Yep. That's what I don't love about the Captain season two, is that it does just become so definitional. It's like, if you're against that person, you're probably going out early, and it's the right move. It is probably the right move to vote that person out early.
Yeah. But look, Malcolm and Denise, what did they do? They're there with, and they are like, okay, we're going to work with Russell. And then they were tighter. And then they ultimately outlasted Russell in that season.
Right.
But they started with him.
Yeah, no, that is a great counterexample of like, but you do sort of have to, and that one of the challenges of Survivor is kind of, you know, adapting to the game, to the hand that you're dealt, to the game that you're playing. And when there are the returnees, they are going to probably be the center point of the tribe. And so, yeah, you should probably get in tight with them.
Okay, Steven, give us this question here from Matt, and then let me rant for a minute here.
Oh, okay. Matt wants to know, oh boy, I see the rants coming. Matt wants to know, can we start throwing the label out of hashtag purple Chris?
Stop with the purple people. It was one episode. Stop it, ever people. I don't want to hear about a purple person until Easter.
Yeah.
Stop it. Well, maybe. How about, can we get to March 1st, people? Like, oh, purple this person. The internet can't wait to start with purple. And God forbid somebody doesn't get a confessional next week.
Yeah. It's like two confessional people not getting a confessional two episodes in a row is very common. I say it's a 1 hour premiere. There's a lot to do. I mean, back in the day when 1 hour premieres were common, like it was like very few people got, not very few people, but you know, you had a lot of people who didn't get any confessionals.
Yeah. That's relax. People can't wait to start talking about that. Okay.
Yeah.
Christian Country Boy says Kelly blew her cool a little at Tribal, saying, why was my name thrown out and not David? And now we see David gunning for her in the preview for next episode. Maybe not the reason, but it couldn't have helped. Steven, do you feel like that Kelly overreacted at all?
I couldn't tell if she was kind of giving as good as she got, or if she was making a mistake. Because part of me was like, you know, just like let Reem self-destruct, you know, don't get into it with her because that's only going to like cause problems. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're going to say something, you're going to piss David off because you mentioned his name. But then part of me was like, well, why not? You know, like this is what you're here for. You're here on this TV show. And Tribal Council is often it's like shocking to me, but it's often like a safe space to like say the things that you shouldn't really say. Like somehow like those things get forgotten. Like, you know, you said all these terrible, crazy things, but that was Tribal Council. Like what? Like to me, it's a little bit mad, but somehow it's true. I don't know. What did you think, Rob?
I didn't think that she said anything that was like, oh, Kelly's blowing it. Oh, Kelly, way overreacting. Yeah. You know, could she said it a little bit more like, hey, my name got thrown out there too. You know, but you know, where you're really nitpicking on this one.
I thought that line was funny too. And she when like Reem was like, you're a legend. Like it's an honor for you to get votes. And she was like,
you're cool, Kelly. You're a legend, whatever. Screw these guys.
Yeah.
Love Reem. I love Reem so much. Can't wait to see Reem at the final Tribal Council. Like her name is Reem and she reams people out. I mean, is Reem a nickname?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, that would be a great,
I don't know. That'd be great. Okay. Let's go to Paige.
Paige wants to know, do you guys think it would be a bad move for David to blindside Kelly?
Yes.
So far, he doesn't seem to have as big a target as she does. Yeah.
Why is David going to blindside Kelly Wentworth on the first vote or the second vote?
He's not going to.
Stop it. No. Okay. Jessica wants to know, can Keith recover from his association with Reem and Wendy? Will he fly under the radar? I think that he got the fishy, Jessica.
Yeah, come on, Jess. You're not paying attention to the fishies. And in fact, it looked like he did somewhat recover. Keith's great.
Yeah, I really like Keith. I thought that he was...
he's one of my favorites this season.
It was very fun. Okay.
Yeah.
Edward says, when should people go after Joe? Steven, when is the right point to target Joe?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, what do you... I guess like right after the merge, right? I mean, but then he's just going to come back and be stronger than ever.
Mm. Yeah. It'll be interesting. So, predict the season for me. Do you think that we will swap to three tribes?
My God, I don't know, because that's a lot when you've also got this Island of Extinction thing going on. Then you have like three tribes you have to pay, like give airtime to, and the Island of Extinction.
That's a good point.
I think no, just for like logistical.
Also, reasons. Only an 18 person season. So
yeah. They would have done it already. Yeah, they would have started as three.
Well, not necessarily.
Well, they wouldn't have to, but I mean, they might have.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think it's been a minute since we started with two tribes of nine. I'm trying to think of when that might have been last. Was it San Juan del Sur? Don't quote me on this. Don't quote me on this.
No, I think that's right. I think that's what it was. I'm trying to think of anything since then.
Right. And I think and that was only the case, right? Because So Kim and her sister ended up not being able to play. This is like ancient Survivor history. But
yeah.
And then, I mean, that was before they were like swapping to three. No, they had three tribes in Kagyan. So but they didn't go to three tribes in that season. So that could be it. We could see a swap, maybe swap to tribes of two. Do you think that we could potentially would they leave the returning players out of a swap? Like, could we see a situation where the returning players all got swapped to the same tribe? Would they let that happen?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. I don't know. Might be too lopsided.
Yeah. But that's the God of random, the survivor's God of randomness, you know, that's just how it works.
Be interesting. That one of the returning players can get screwed. You get three on one tribe and like, only one returning player, not on the, with the others.
Yeah, that certainly happens a lot, though, right? Someone getting swap screwed, like that's ever since Silas.
Yeah. Okay. Ask Kelly Wentworth.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Let's go to Survivor Brent. What do you think of the War Dog and David relationship? Any longevity there?
Yeah, it's great for David. It's great for War Dog. I like it.
Yeah. looks good. Only we saw literally one conversation with them. I think that's a little too early to tell.
That's a lot. No, that's a solid strategic alliance forever.
This is a good question. Andrew writes, I thought there was a tribe advantage hidden on the boat. Did they jump in the water too soon? That's a big part of the big Dalton Ross write-up that he had out this morning, where he really chronicled every single thing that happens leading up to the marooning, starting from 2:30 in the morning. Dalton Ross tweeted that the advantage was found and it was cut for airtime, and he will have more about that tomorrow. So follow Dalton Ross on Twitter if you want to know more about that. But I guess it did not make a big impact in the game.
Something to look for.
Okay. What about Matt's question?
All right. Matt wants to know, who do you think is Wendy's opening to get a foothold in the tribe? That's a good question.
Okay. Let's see. Who can Wendy bounce back with? I guess Keith. Keith is sort of like, you know, fighting for his life there, but I feel like that, certainly David could look at it. It seemed like that War Dog was the person pushing for getting rid of Wendy, perhaps.
But there's something, it wasn't a crazy thought. Like, if I'm saying to you, we're all voting this person out and you're not willing to get on board with that, like, that's just, that is somewhat scary. Like, it's again, like, it's like a beautiful human sentiment, like this loyalty that you have. But it's also scary from a survivor perspective, where it's like you're going to do things based on principles that are not like in your strategic best interest.
And she's also saying that, hey, I'm going to vote against Kelly and Lauren.
So,
you know, maybe if you're David, like in the back of your head saying like, okay, well, like, you know, I want to keep Kelly around for now, but you know, let's keep Wendy in the back pocket if she wants to target the other returning player.
Yeah. And maybe Wendy and Purple Chris will have an alliance.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Alexis. How can older women get past the mom trope? Equally important, how does Aubrey keep from getting pennered? What is getting pennered?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what getting pennered
should
is.
Be so lucky to get pennered.
I guess everyone on that tribe was sort of like targeting him pretty early. It's a good question about the mom thing. I mean, Lauren Rimmer was in her 40s and she, right? Like she, how old was Lauren Rimmer? I should know this as my future.
I don't think she's that old.
No, she's in her 30s. You're right.
She's younger than us.
She's 36.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Like it is a challenge.
But look, that was Reem targeted because she was the mom, because she was the older woman. I don't know, but based on what I saw on the show, she was targeted because she said, hey, let's vote out Kelly Wentworth and Lauren. And then Keith told on her.
But you could clearly see that like certain people, like she's saying that only after like certain people are grouping up, and you know, the groups you make on Survivor are largely based on people who are similar to you. Right. I mean, because you naturally glom onto people who are similar to you. And especially in a situation like that.
I mean, look, you got to walk a mile in somebody's shoes, but I'm telling you, if Reem goes out there and that she is up Kelly Wentworth's behind for 3 days. Kelly Wentworth, you're my best friend. I want to be, I love you, Kelly Wentworth, or even David Wright. If she attaches herself like a barnacle to those returning players, I think it's a different story.
Okay, but maybe she's not gone, but the question is like, is she still in that mom? Because even Keith, who was, you know, at least momentarily her ally, was saying, you're like a mom to me. And like that was like the narrative around her. It was like, oh, you're like my mother. It was either like, you're like my mother figure and I want to ally with you, or like, you're like my annoying mom and I want to vote you out. And you know, she's 46. Like that's us. We're going to go back and they're going to be like, oh, you're like my dad.
Yeah. But well, if you're like a overbearing, annoying dad, that's not good. That's not good. There are people that are in their 40s and 50s who go and they make it work for them. And there's other people who look, and did Reem have some bad luck? Yeah, I guess so. But she also did things poorly.
No, but I really don't think the question was just, how does she avoid getting out? I think it was also, how do you avoid being the mom.
And, and you probably have a tougher road ahead of you in that role. But I think that what you do is go, just like anybody else, you know that you're going to have a target on your back, but you got to work even harder to make those bonds and make sure that you don't do things to ostracize yourself from the rest of the group.
Or maybe you just have to accept it, right? I mean, like, there's nothing you can do about it, and then work to kind of counteract that, right? Like, just accept that people's first impressions of you are going to be based on things that are totally outside your control, and then work to undo that. I don't know. I mean, it's tough.
Look, there's no absolute right answer. It's completely situational, but that all you can do to improve your chances is just make as many good relationships with all the players that are out there as you can. And it seemed like that she was really locked in on Keith and on Wendy from what we saw in the episode. Again, we saw, 12 minutes of footage from that tribe in the course of three days. So who knows for sure, but that's right. What it looked like from what we saw.
Yeah, no. I think the story is that they're, to tell her that that's probably what was happening, right? I mean,
yeah. Okay. All right. Curtis wants to know, who's giving you the best first impression so far, Steven?
Oh, wow. I gotta love my guy, Dave Wright. You know, he's one of my all time favorites. Of the new players, I really like the fireman and I like Gavin. I like Gavin a lot.
Yeah.
Love Keith. I hope for Julie, right? Julie's getting a very classic sort of fish out of water. Let's see what happens.
Julie or Julia?
Julie.
Yeah.
Julie. Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't see very much of Julia.
Yeah. No, I'm it's a little early for me between the Julie and Julias, which is which.
Julie is Julie Rosenberg, who was having trouble chopping.
It's very ironic that she makes wooden toys and she got a splinter. You would think that if anybody's not getting a splinter, you would think it would be her.
Well, maybe. Yeah. I mean, there you go.
Okay.
Her toys don't have splinters. She's not used to that.
Okay. John wants to know, do you guys believe that Rick has earned the last name treatment from Probst? That definitely caught me off guard.
I was surprised by that too. Out of the gate, Devin. Oh yeah. A couple of times they called him Devins, at least in one challenge. I think he called him Devins at Tribal Council. I was surprised by that.
Yeah. So look, some people Kelly seems to have been referred to by Jeff as Wentworth, almost exclusively this season.
Well, but she was Wentworth in Cambodia.
Right, she earned it. Right.
Well, but no, but she also was just a distinguisher from Wigglesworth. She was Wentworth. She was out of the gate. She was Wentworth.
When did you become Fishback?
Out of the gate in Cambodia. And there was no other Steven on the tribe either.
You leveled up.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Day one in Cambodia, I was Fishback. It was great.
Okay. All good stuff. All right. So let's start to wrap things up here tonight on our premiere coverage. Okay. Kimmy Kappenberg interview coming tomorrow. Very excited to catch up with Kimmy. Of course, get your feedback questions in as well for Arissa Cox coming up. If you want to follow Steven's blog all season long, follow at Steven Fishback as well here. Let's talk about what else is coming up here on Rob as a Podcast. Bachelor 23. Steven, would you ever watch The Bachelor?
I tried once.
Yeah. That was
That's all I can say about that. Yeah.
Although we know we are love know-it-alls.
Yeah. Well, I like The Bachelorette more because like the douchey guys are just so outrageously douchey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is fun. That is fun when they all show up. Okay.
The first few episodes are fun. Yeah.
Kimmy Kappenberg tomorrow. I'll get to ask her about Joe and about Kelly and everything that she's seeing here. And then Josh Wiggler is going to be on the RHAP B&B, Steven. Mm. Check that out. What is that noise?
That was excited.
You're like a baby and I'm trying to feed you peas and you don't like them.
No, I like them so much that my mouth is filled with peas.
Why did Reem lose? Was it because she was the older woman? Find out when David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis talk about it on our Why Blank Lost podcast. And then Arissa Cox will join me on our feedback show over the weekend. So be on the lookout for that as well. Get your feedback questions in robinswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. I have to always pause because the voicemail number is similar to my home phone number. It's been a minute. And then
wait, you have a home phone?
It's my cell phone. And then of course the Wiggle Room is going to be back. We'll get into everything that Josh Wiggler saw on location. The first wand off of the season. We'll record that on Monday on our Survivor 38 premiere Wiggle Room. And then also be on the lookout for Twitch. We got a special Twitch coming up as well this week with Jordan Kalish. All right.
Wait. And if you're into this, to completely switch gears, I had an incredible guest as my latest guest on Paraphrase, Garth Greenwell, who is an amazing author. His book, What Belongs to You, is just an incredibly gorgeous book. He's a legitimate genius. I like talking to him. He's one of these people who you speak to him. It's nothing like talking to you, Rob. You speak to him and you're like, oh my God, you are one of the most intelligent people I've ever spoken to. Okay. Paraphrasepodcast.com if you're interested in that kind of thing.
Send Scott the picture. We'll get it on the show. Put up on the screen. Oh,
That's nice.
Yes. Okay. I will. Yeah. There you go. For the great Garth Greenwell. And then, of course, special thanks to the patrons of Rob's podcast who make all of this possible. All this podcast can do about 1 million hours of podcasting here on the edge of extinction. Thanks to our patrons. To find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron, go to robswebsite.com/patron. And then check this out. Brian Malloy, our t-shirt designer. I know that, people love it when podcasts have t-shirts, from what I hear. And so, we've got a brand new one up at rhapstore.com. Brian Malloy has a RHAP Saved by the Bell.
This shirt is awesome. This is a great shirt.
It's a, get Eric Stein up out of bed. Check this out. And, RHAP by the Bell, that is a limited time shirt that's available from, Brian Malloy at rhapstore.com, where you can get all your, Robin's podcast merchandise. All right, Steven, we're back.
I'm really excited to see how this season plays out. You know, like there's so many interesting aspects to it in terms of these returning players, like what happens with this Island of Extinction thing. Like I'm really like thrilled. I mean, and looking forward to recapping the next couple of episodes.
Yeah, I think this is a fun group. Looking forward to talking about it. I was really just like blown away when I did the math of like how many seasons of the Know-It-Alls that we've done. Can you believe this, Steven, that this is for you and I, the 13th go around here for Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Wait, is that because we started with Philippines, right?
Survivor Philippines, yeah.
And this is season. Wow. Yeah. And then we missed one, obviously. God, I wish I was here for that instead of out there.
This is going on 7 years of this.
That's crazy. My God. And what's changed? You've like had kids, yeah. You know, like what am I doing
you
with
got
myself?
Married. You got married. You started this year. You started another podcast.
Yeah. The competing podcast is how I like
you
to
went back
it.
On Survivor.
Oh, God. It's been great. It's been a really fun 7 years too. And it's really been cool to see like the community around the podcast.
Yeah. Grow. Well, it's very nice that all these people spend their Wednesday nights with us. It's very fun. And I really appreciate getting to come here and pick your brain every Wednesday, getting to talk through everything that happens. And, it's great fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a really fun. It's a fun ritual that we have.
I mean, I guess it's not as fun as talking to Garth Greenwell, but
well, come on. I mean, that's like a once in a lifetime experience. You, it's like every freaking week. Every week. Know?
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, Steven, great job. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Be on the lookout for my conversation with Kimmy Kappenberg coming up. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.